For the last two decades, a slouching, tripping beat has defined certain stylish neighborhoods in Miami, Paris, and Berlin. Today, this is an international sound that's widely imitated, but you can trace the origin of trip-hop music back to Bristol, England, and the band Massive Attack. This was a single from the band's recording debut in 1991. Now Massive Attack is about to release its first album in 7 years, called Heligoland. As in previous recordings, Heligoland is full of guest vocalists and instrumentalists, but the band itself has shrunk from a trio to a duo. Robert Del Naya, who goes by D, and Grant Marshall, or G, spoke with me from their studios in Bristol. Del Naya told me the band's approach to music today is very different from the early years, when they co-opted everything they heard around them.
We were, you know, the kings of thieves in our neighbourhood. We used to take some of the best sort of like bits of other people's music and build them and rebuild them into new songs, and that was the fun part of it. The kind of the anarchy of taking and sort of remodeling, remaking, you know, dismantling and rebuilding. And we work in a very different way now.
Is there any sampling at all on this album?
We sampled ourselves. In a sense, you know, you would get a drummer to play something, you might instruct him to play a certain way, and then you take loops of that. So you edit the same way by using small loops of a part, as opposed to sampling, say, something from an obscure 70s funk tune, for instance. I think all the tracks, even the very acoustic drum tracks on the record, have been very looped. If you listen to Pray for Rain, the toms on there have a very looping feel. Obviously, that was a session we did in the studio. System failure left behind, and their necks crane as they turn to pray for rain, and their necks crane.
Do you often start with the drums, or where does a song begin to take shape?
Song can start from a multitude of places, you know, with words, with a bit of vocal, with a sort of a simple riff on guitar, for instance. But drums and bass are a very central theme in our music. Historically, Bristol's a very bass-heavy city, you know, very influenced by the reggae music of its past.
You say Bristol's a very bass-heavy city. So much of your music is tied to a scene in Bristol that you've largely helped to create. For American radio listeners, describe what the music scene is like in Bristol and how that informs the music you make.
Yeah, Bristol is the setting for us, and it's where our history lies, but we've travelled everywhere. I think our music has always been about a collision of cultural ideas. We've never sort of trawled through the same space to find music.
Why have you stayed in Bristol? You know, a lot of people in your field take root in Berlin, Paris, London.
Bristol's a lovely place, you know, and to be honest, it was never a case of us, you know, wanting to, you know, leave our friends and family to go in search of something that we already have in Bristol, you know. So as far as we're concerned, you know, Bristol was the centre of the world.
Tell me about the fourth track on this album, Girl, I Love You. It sounds like there are almost some Middle Eastern influences in that number there.
I think we've always been very intrigued with Middle Eastern influence. I mean, it's a beautiful music, comes from the region, and it's very emotive.
Not being a musician, I'm sure I'm misidentifying this, but it almost sounds like Indian ragas, like there are horns. What exactly is going on in this song?
It's okay, we're all in the same family.
it's a song of cultural confusion and disorientation, which is always great if you can capture that. That's what we've always been about, you know, collision of ideas and cultures.
You on all of your albums have collaborated with a wide range of musicians. Why not just find one vocalist you love and stick with them as many bands have done over the years?
Why do that? You know, we've been historically, I mean, back from the Beatles as kids, listening to them and to the Clash and bands like the Clash who've worked with different vocalists. We've never felt the need to stick with one set of voices.
What different things, aside from the voice itself, do the collaborators bring to the album? Do they help you craft a particular track, or do you sort of give them the line and just ask them to do it?
It depends. Historically, from track to track, sometimes it's as simple as sending another artist a complete piece of music almost, and they will sort of come back with a song which has been crafted over that piece of music, obviously with its melodic patterns and chord changes. Other times it's something which is built up from scratch. You know, it could be something which might start with just with a rhythm, which you then build together.
In Paradise Circus, there are these hand claps, which, you know, I've always associated hand claps in music with sort of effusive joy. And here you've got these hand claps over this very moody, mellow instrumental. How did this song come together?
It's a song in many stages. G had initially sent Hope a backing track, a very beautiful and simple track, which she...
Hope is the vocalist on the track.
Exactly, Hope Sandoval. And she sent back a very lovely song, which we then took it apart and rebuilt it. We've added various rhythmic elements to it. The hand claps give it a nice conspiratorial sense of being in the room with the person, and the song is very evocative and it conjures up spirits. Love is like a sin.
I intend this as a compliment, and I hope you take it that way. I think of your music as sort of quintessential winter listening music, kind of ghostly and intimate and evocative and spiritual.
I don't like the sound of that. I don't like the sound of that at all.
You don't like the sound of that? Why not?
No, I can. The property belongs to you now, the listener, so if that's what you evokes in yourself, then that's great. That's nice.
It's funny, though, because we, you know, I think people have always felt a festival sound in Massive Attack. You know, we do a lot of festivals every year, in all over Europe particularly. In a festival setting, it completely changes. You know, it sort of, as the sun goes down, it becomes something else. That kind of, that crowded, warm heat, that sticky summer night, you know, I think it works for that as well in my head.
In the last few years, you've worked on some film soundtracks, and I wonder how that experience is different from creating a Massive Attack album.
Absolutely. When you know, I think film soundtracks are fun at the beginning, but after a while they start to become pretty predictable. There seems to be a very unhealthy fear of silence in film, where every scene has to be filled with music or tone or some sound. In our music, we try to look for space so you can hear everything. Everything's very present in the room, very, very graphic, and very much the opposite of working in film, really, where everything has to be layered and textural. You know, as much as I enjoyed working in film, I think the sort of like the crowning glory in all my film work was probably Gomorrah, which is the one with no music in it at all. Gee, what are you thinking, mate?
I was going to say the same thing. That was the whole ethos of what we were trying to do, was to create space on this album, you know? And, yeah, that's it, really.
Thanks so much for talking with me, guys.
Nice.
Thank
one.
You.
Thanks for having us.
See you later, man.
Bye-bye.
That's Grant Marshall and Robert Del Naya of Massive Attack. Their new album, called Heligoland, comes out next month. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Ari Shapiro.